The Stat Zone, Esports Podcast.
Welcome to the first ever Esports Podcast brought to you by The Stat Zone. Thanks for listening to us. In this podcast, we're going to cover everything to do with FIFA Esports over the past couple of weeks as the best FIFA 19 players in the world continue to compete in a bid to qualify for the FIFA eWorld Cup later in the year. My name is Alex. I'm the Esports and Fantasy Coordinator here at The Stat Zone. Joining me around the table here in our Media City office is our content manager, Tristan. Afternoon, Tristan.
Hi there.
And Chief Data Scientist, Tim. Afternoon, Tim.
Hi.
Right, let's jump straight into it then. Last weekend saw the fourth FIFA 19 licensed qualifying event of the season take place at the Gfinity Arena in London, the Gfinity FIFA Series. It's the, I believe it's the third offline tournament of the season so far to be run by Gfinity. But first, let's talk about the third FUT Champions Cup of the season held in Bucharest 2 weeks ago, because we crowned a brand new major trophy winner as SK Gaming's Dullan Mike won it all after beating Hassan Ike in the grand final. We saw him lose to Tim Lacker in the console quarterfinals in the January Gfinity LQE. But Tristan, what a turnaround it's been for the youngster. He's just 16 years old, remember, and already he's a major trophy winner in FIFA 19.
Yeah, he came from nowhere, reminiscent of Tex, I think, last year when he won his first Foot Champs. It'd be interesting to see if he follows in Tex's footsteps and continues to make strides in the game. I was impressed with him. Even watching afterwards, I don't know if you saw, Alex, but the interviews he gave about his performance, he was, for a 16-year-old, he just sounded very composed, very articulate. He looks like he's got his head screwed on. So I think he's definitely one to look out for as a future title winner.
Yeah, we saw him lose to Tim, as I mentioned, in the January Gfinity LQA. And Tim Lacker was he was just a better player at that time, and you could tell Mike was really disappointed with that. But you know, Tim, he's done a fantastic job, hasn't he, to come back from that, to bounce back and to win such a big tournament as well. You know, what a moment it is for his career.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the results that he had on the way through. You know, it's not like he's had an easy path to the final. He's knocked out Gorilla in the last 16, Ajax Danny in the semis, and Razek in the final. So he's really earned it. You know, you can't say he's had an easy ride to his first championship. So he's definitely one that's here to stay.
Yeah, very much so. Ajax Danny, the man who took out your pick to win the whole tournament, Emes Dessari, on penalties, indeed, a penalty shootout. My pick was Stefano Pina, and he didn't bring it home. He made it to the console final, but he just couldn't get there. He lost out to Hassan Ike. It was frustrating because I've been picking him to win tournaments for a while now, and he just hadn't managed to wrap it up. But we'll go back to that very shortly. That all changed. And Tristan,
you've had a good hit rate there. I mean, up until then, you're picking a lot of winners, and now it seems you're picking the right players in the wrong tournament.
Yeah, unfortunately, less said about that. But less said about your pick to win, the better. You predicted Emtem Rasende to win the FUT Champions Cup after his fantastic run in the January LQE. Unfortunately,
thanks for reminding me of that. I mean, we went to that event, didn't we?
In
London, and I was impressed with him. I thought he'd continue that form the following week, because these tournaments are coming thick and fast every weekend. So that momentum I thought would carry through, but it just goes to show the strength and depth in the esports scene. Anyone could beat anyone on their day.
Yeah, plus with players playing every week, there is one thought where they were hitting form and staying in it, but then fatigue can also set in. It's a lot of travelling for these players, particularly the ones that are having to come overseas constantly from tournament to tournament.
Yeah. The last 4 weeks has been a tournament. It's just pretty constant, and we finally got a break now after the eClub World Cup. There's not a global series tournament the following weekend, which will probably be a relief to some players. I mean, you know, Tex has qualified for every single event, hasn't he, so far?
And we wonder if fatigue has taken its toll on him, because he still has yet to win. He's always gone deep, but he's yet to win a tournament since the PGL Cup in Bucharest back last year. So it's been a while for him.
True, and because of his early success in FIFA 19, that, you know, it brings with it questions about whether he could sustain it as he peaked too early. He set himself up there for some for a bit of pressure, I think, by winning those tournaments early and everyone saying he's going to dominate throughout the year.
He's
still reaching the last stages. You know, he's not going out in the group stage.
Well, he's still the top player, really. You know, on Xbox, one of the absolute top players, and still one of the favourites, you know, to make it to the eWorld Cup.
I think he's qualified. You know, if you look at how many points he's got, I would say it's pretty much nailed on that he's there, isn't it? I mean, he's accumulated, is it double of his next, in terms of global series points, his next competitor. So he could relax for the rest of the year if he wanted.
Yeah, very much so. Someone who hasn't been affected by fatigue, though, is, as I mentioned, Stefano Pina, the PSV Eindhoven player, has come so close yet so far to winning a trophy on FIFA, and he finally ended the curse. Yeah. He brought home his first honour, and that was the Gfinity February LQE, Gfinity FIFA Series of February. He did it by winning that tournament, the tournament I didn't predict him to win, unfortunately.
Hear the bitterness in your voice.
Yeah, I predicted Nicholas to win that one. Nicholas had a rare off tournament. He made it to the knockout stages, but then he was beaten by Dr. Ohano in the, I think it was the console semi-finals he was beaten in that one. Disappointing, but he'll come again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But fantastic for Stefano, Tim, because we've sung his praises, you know, before. We saw him at the World Cup make it all the way to the grand final. He had such a, you know, he's a young player, but, you know, he spoke with such composure and such confidence. And it's great to see someone like him now win a tournament. And you now have to put him, you know, in the conversation with the real top, top players like Nicholas, like Tex, like Amos Dessari.
Yeah, I think what I was noticed more about Stefano Pino winning is he's now the second PS4 player to win that cross-console final. You know, there was, I think it was 2017, the last time someone from PS4 actually won. So for two of them to come along now, take their home the overall trophy, it's shown that skill gap between the two consoles is definitely closing and makes for a more exciting tournament as we get towards the latter stages in the year.
Yeah, I was impressed with the manner in which he won, because he played Megabit in the final.
What a way to win it.
And Megabit scored in the last minute to force extra time, and he thought, well, he's got the momentum now. But he held on for penalties and got it done, so, you know, to hold your head under that kind of pressure, impressive.
To do it on a penalty shootout, having watched the penalties, what fantastic, you know, penalties were taken.
I don't remember the last time there was a cross-console penalty shootout. I don't know about you, Alex, but it's been a long time. I don't remember any from FIFA 18.
Has there even been one on commentary they were talking about? They couldn't remember the last time.
Yeah, Brandon and Richard mentioned that, didn't they?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming for Stefano Pina, but he's done it, and fantastic for him. Like I say, Megabit, quick mention on him before we move on. Not seen him for a bit, but he returned in a big way. I put him in our preview for the event that you can find on thestatsen.com. He was one of my players to watch, and he showed it, didn't he? Really was a strong comeback.
I was very impressed with him. He's one of the big online players, always streaming to his hordes of fans. So it was only a matter of time before he was going to get back into one of these offline tournaments. But I think this brings us on nicely to our own tournament rankings, which is slightly different to the Global Series points rankings offered by FIFA.gg. Now, Tim, you're the one that, I guess, the brains behind this. Do you want to talk a bit about how our rankings might differ from FIFA's own Global Series points?
Yeah, sure. As it's the first podcast we're putting out, I'll just run through quickly the FIFA Global Series points that are out there. So the current system, which can be found at FIFA.gg, gives each player's Global Series total. So these points are earned by Foot Champions verified players who compete at either the live events, so the Foot Champions weekend or the licensed qualifying events that we've just discussed, or through playing online at the weekend league. The players gain points throughout the season, with the top 30 from each console qualifying for the FIFA 19 Global Series playoffs. Essentially, players are given points for where they finish in a tournament, and then the points are added up throughout the course of the season. The higher they finish, the more points they get.
It differs from last year, isn't it? The way it's set up. Because last year we didn't have this Global Series points leaderboard. We had where the qualification for the E-World Cup was you'd have to win a tournament, and then they'd go to the playoffs. And even then, when you're in the playoffs, you'd have to get to the last 16, was it, Alex, to qualify for the E-World Cup. So it's a whole probably a fairer system, I would say, this year.
Yes, it's a fantastic addition by FIFA and EA. You know, it's streamlining the best players in to the final tournaments, and that's who we want to watch at the end of the year. We want the best players on the biggest stage playing for the overall championship.
Yeah, and it really rewards sort of consistency over the years, and you don't want to just, like last year, had someone winning early on in the year, didn't see them for the rest of the year, and they'd made it in, perhaps unfairly compared to other players who hadn't won a tournament but were reaching the latter stages quite consistently. So I think it's a fairer system overall. But we've come up with a slightly different rankings list, Tim, for both Xbox One and PS4. Do you want to talk about how this differs from the Global Series points?
Sure. So as you allude to, Tristan, our rankings are a little different to the FIFA Global Series points. Each player is given a rating that is not only based upon where they finish in a tournament, but also takes into account the quality of opposition they've played and also the margin of the result.
Okay, well, why would anyone be interested in that as opposed to the Global Series leaderboard?
So unlike the Global Series points that take into account the weekend league, we only include Global Series tournaments that are played offline, so your Foot Champions Cups and your licensed qualifying events. For those who have watched the events or have had the fortune to be in attendance to them, it's very different to then to say playing at home in your living room. There's the cameras, the media, the fans that have come along to watch, and generally the players need to be able to handle the pressure of performing in a live environment. So the idea behind our rankings is that it will favour those who rise to the occasion on the big stage. And then in addition to this, they're incorporating the additional factors such as quality of opposition or margin of result. Our rating gives a more accurate measure of each player's skill relative to each other. So it takes into account who you would play on the way to a final. So beating someone like Tex on your way will improve your rating than, say, if you beat someone like yourself, Tristan.
Well, speak for yourself, but yeah, fair enough. I have to agree that Tex is a stronger player than I am.
Oh, yeah, okay, maybe I'll agree with that as well. I was going to defend you for a half second there, Tristan, and I thought better of it. Yeah. I think anyone listening will have fastly clicked off if I said that. But, okay, interesting. So, in terms of the rankings now, who do we have on top?
We have Megabit actually on top of our Xbox One rankings, and again, this is a difference with the Global Series leaderboard. We have F2 Texas third.
Where he's top, of course, and the
he's top by a mile in the Global Series. But we're looking at a slightly different things, as Tim has alluded to there, whereas on the PS4 side of rankings, we do also have Nicholas on the top. So they're generally quite similar, but what we're looking at is how are they performing against each other, against the top players regularly. So it's not just reaching every tournament. It's how you're performing on the big stage, and you know perhaps Tex has had some easier rides to the top than Megabit did when he reached the cross-console final last weekend. So it'll be interesting when we get to the World Cup and we can perhaps predict who might win games based on the season, because we're logging things like head-to-head scores and other such factors. So yeah, that's kind of where ours differ. You can find our rankings anyway on thestatzone.com on our esports section. And you can see these are updated after every weekend. Okay. So it's good to keep a track on that and see what the differences and similarities are.
Fantastic, great. Well, talking about this weekend, we have another major tournament on the horizon, and it is a big one. It's the third FIFA eClub World Cup. It differs because, of course, the players aren't playing for themselves. They're playing as a team. They're playing in teams of two, and they are a club. They're part of a club, as it says on the tin, the FIFA eClub World Cup. 16 clubs will compete in a bid to win the competition. Will someone topple the reigning two-time winners, Brøndby, Danish footballing giant? They have won both versions of this event so far. It will take place at Sky Sports Studios, the same location as the inaugural FIFA eClub World Cup. Will be there, or should I say Tristan, will be there representing the Stat Zone.
Looking forward to it.
It's going to be an exciting event. Who's got your eye for your very first eye? You've got a couple of good top teams in there, but are there anyone there that you're looking at and you're thinking, yeah, I fancy them to win it all?
Okay, well, there's an obvious candidate to win this this year, but I'm not going to go for those. And we'll get to that in a minute, and who that team is, the so-called dream team. I'm going to go for Team Vitality for a number of factors. So this consists of Maestro Squad on the PS4 and Rafsu on the Xbox One. Two French players, know each other very well, both part of the France eFoot team. And what you described there about it's a club, that there's a match in this where they'll play 2v2. Is that right, Alex?
Yeah, I should mention that again. I'll do it now, actually, in terms of the format and schedule. Of course, I've already mentioned it will be contested by 16 clubs, two players per team, one per console, so one Xbox player, one PS4 player. It will be a groups followed into knockout competition, so four groups of four, top two from each group go through, and then from the knockouts, it will be a straight knockout from then on in. In terms of the group stages, there will be three matches that will take place each group game. One match will take place on the PlayStation 4 between the PlayStation players. One will take place on the Xbox One by the Xbox players. And then this is where it gets interesting. Match three is going to be a 2v2 match where each club's two designated players team up and face the opposition. The match will be contested on a predetermined console, which will be agreed before the tournament, and I assume when they get to the knockout stages, maybe they'll flip a coin or something along those lines, or maybe whoever finished higher in their respective group could make it different and could be the ones that have the choice in terms of what console to play on. But there will be 9 points available because per group game, because each match...
Is that how they're playing it then? They're doing per 3 points for a victory in each game, as opposed to having, say, if you win two out of three, you get three points.
Yeah, that's how they're doing it. 3 points each game, 1 point each for a draw, of course. So a total of 9 points available each group game, because each team will play three times in the groups. They play their opponent, so a total of 27 points available, and the top two go through. I believe if there's a tie, then it would come down to a goal difference.
And then the cross in the knockouts, how does it change there?
It changes in the knockouts because, as Tim just mentioned, that's how the format will go in right. the second way. It will be almost in terms of, you know, legs. So the first leg on PlayStation 4, first, second leg on Xbox. If one team wins both, then they'll go through 2-0. But if it finishes as a 1-1 draw, then it will go to a third and deciding leg, which will be played in a 2v2 format.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that. It offers a completely different dynamic, doesn't it, to what we're used to seeing. And you've got to wonder how often do these players play together. And this is actually why I've gone for Team Vitality, two French players. There's going to be no language barrier there when they're on the same team.
That is the big thing, isn't it? The language barrier. Is that how much of an effect is that going to have? Should mention as well, $40,000 per club for the winner and 1,500 Global Series points per player. That's right. The big one. 1,500 Global Series points per player. The runner-up, not bad either. $20,000 for the runner-up and 850 Global Series points. You've got 625 for third, fourth, 450 Global Series points for 5th to 8th and 9th to 16th to take home 275 Global Series points. Tim, what are you thinking? Who's going to shine for you?
So I just have a quick question, Alex, on what you've just explained there. Yeah. So the players are going to be interested in the Global Series points. So as they're playing in a team, do they each get that amount of Global Series points?
Yes, they each get that amount of points.
Whereas the money, I assume, is shared out between the team.
Per club is... the specifics for the money, but the player, they get the Global Series points.
Very much a major, isn't it, though, this?
Very much a major. It's a big tournament. Like I say, people forget about this sometimes, maybe because, like I say, Brombay have won it, you know, twice. So they're going
They've
for the
got a stronghold on it, yeah.
Yeah, they're there. Brombay are going to be competing. Fredberg is there, and he was one of the players that took it home last year. Of course, he lost in his match in the final to... They beat Team Envious in the final, and Fredberg lost out to... Ice Vogel.
Right.
But of course, FIFA Houston, who was his teammate at the time, went on an absolute rampage in his second leg. And because then it was down to overall goals won within both games. And,
so if your teammate has a bad game, you can sort of, you know, it's still got a chance.
You can pull it back. The format has been changed, and I think it's a good format. I think it's going to benefit. It makes things just a bit more fairer, and I think it a bit more team-orientated even more so. So Tim, come on, I'm going to push you. Who do you think is going to win?
So, much like Tristan, I've avoided the obvious dream team that is out there, and instead I've gone for the Ajax esports team, with Ajax Danny and Ajax Joey representing them in the Club World Cup. They're a very forward-thinking team. You know, I think it was late last year that they went over to America for a training camp, and it's something that's clearly paid off. The club not reaching last year's eClub World Cup and have reached it this year, so... clearly that's been paying dividends. Ajax Danny's been playing excellent this year. He reached the FUT Champions Cup final in FUT Champs number one, and he's reached the semi-final in the most recent one. And Ajax Joey, again, an excellent player.
They're good players. Like I say, Danny can speak fluent English, so it's not going to be a problem in terms of communication, and that's where it's my problem.
Right, well, go on, Alex.
My problem is I've gone for the Dream Team, okay. Obviously.
And who are the Dream Team, Alex?
The Dream Team is the best Xbox One player and the best PS4 player teaming up, representing King Esports, F2 Techs, and Nicholas 99 FC. They're together, the Argentine and the English, teaming up. You won't see that very often, that's for sure, but they're doing it for this event. They're team up, they qualified through. And they're going to be going for it. And they are going to come in as the clear favourites, I think, simply because they are the best two players on their respective consoles. They're the best two players on their respective consoles. So I expect them to go deep. My one big worry is, of course, will they be able to communicate well? We know Nicholas is speaking good English.
He's improved a lot.
Yeah, he's improved a lot. Is he completely fluent when they get to 2v2? You know, can they rely on each other? You know, it's different. And anything can happen. And I do worry that by then it may come down to players that are used to playing with each other, such as Danny and Joey being a good example, such as the Brombay duo Dingo and Fredberg, who of course won the recent Nordic Invitational that took place last weekend for Denmark. So there are some good players out there, you know, Manchester City as well. We've got two British representatives there. Hashtag Ryan is playing for Manchester City for this event, and Shells is there as well. Yeah, Sean Springett.
It was a tough qualification process as well. I mean, these guys are there on merit. There was plenty of teams that were vying for a spot.
So. I just want to mention one other team. It's interesting, really. No Fuchs Given will be there. Plus Christian Fuchs' organisation, Leicester City Football. Sean Dragon Allen and Mohamed Al Basha are teaming up together. Mm. Once bitter enemies in the FIFA E-Club.
A very nostalgic
Cup
team.
Final, yeah, back there, of course, that incredible final which Al Bashir took home in dramatic circumstances. But they're going to be teaming together here. What a story it would be if those two were to combine together and bring it home. But it's going to be a great tournament. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting to see if Nicholas and F2 Techs can transfer their form as individuals to team form and bring it home and not make me look stupid.
No, I mean, by the table, they are the favourites. As you say, they're top of each console. The team I've gone for, Team Vitality, they're second in terms of their cumulative ranking. So if you add up their Global Series leaderboard for PS4 and Xbox, they're 29th. And that's way ahead of any other team there, except for the Dream Team. So I think they're a strong team. I'm backing them.
Yeah, I think the format really suits someone like Nicholas and Tex. You know, with each leg representing 3 points, you'd got to think they're favourites to take home 6 points every group game.
I think they'll get through the groups. I'm not worried about them getting through groups. I'm worried about when it gets to the knockouts. If you lose one game, then you're going into a 2v2. If you win, assuming you win the other one, it'll go to a 2v2. And then that's where I think they might fall short. That's what worries me about them. But they're my picks. You can see the full preview of the event that we've written up on thestatzone.com. It'll be up there. Tristan will be at the event providing updates. So be sure to stay tuned in with our social media channels and our website. We'll be bringing you updates of the event. Right, with all of that, I think we'll call it a day. It's sure to be an intriguing weekend. So, as I say, be sure to check out our preview of the event. It's on our eSports Zone of the article. We should hopefully be able to get some exclusive interviews from the event, which will be featured on future podcasts. So if you've enjoyed this podcast, please stick with us, because we're going to have more on the way, and we should hopefully get some exclusive content from some of the best players in FIFA eSports. So thank you very much for listening. And we'll catch you all again for another eSports podcast very soon. Tristan, thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Tim, thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you all soon.
Brought to you by The Stat Zone.